I'm going to be very brief this evening, but I want to share with you a very familiar portion of Scripture, but highlight a little detail that seems to bring it in a whole new light. I want to turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 2. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 2, I noticed Joel, where are you, Joel? Mr. Joel? There you go. Do you mind getting that black bench for me and bring it right up here, sir? I appreciate that. He's an extra bench mover, him and Riley. Appreciate it. Matthew chapter 2. You can just follow along silently. I'm going to read verses 1 down to verse 3. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. You're definitely Becky's kid, not Charlie's. So, good. Good man there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. As you can see, we are talking about the three wise men. We know this story very well. Three men of great renown and wealth and wisdom came from the east to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's an amazing picture of Jesus Christ and the things that was displayed there. But sometimes people forget that the wise men made a little pit stop on their way to see the Savior. And it is this interval with a certain king that I want us to draw our attention tonight for just a few moments. I want you to read verse 2 again. This is the wise men speaking, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And here's the important part. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, did the scripture say King Herod was happy? Was the city thrilled? Mildly enthused, even? No. It said he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, everyone's happy on Christmas time, right? No. Especially not these people. Kind of like Mr. Scrooge, a.k.a. Kevin. These people were not pleased with the message of Christmas. Well, why? What did these wise men do that caused the king and this subject to be so distraught over something that's supposed to be so wonderful and so joyous? Well, they did three specific things that speak on the truth of Christmas and showed forth their faith. They did three things that brought fear to Herod, but can be all joy for us tonight. King Herod was troubled, and all the people, because of, number one, what the wise men said. Read verse 2 again. They said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, ever since I first read this portion of Scripture, to me, this is a very funny picture. I think it's hilarious. Because you have to understand that King Herod was a very opulent man. He was a very extravagant man. Anything his heart desired, he got it. And on top of that, he was a man with an extremely massive ego. He thought he was the greatest thing since sliced pita bread. I don't know. He thought he was God, basically. So I want you to picture in your mind King Herod. You know, he's the man. He sits upon his throne. He sits here. He got guys fanning him here, and his big fan, and he's got people feeding him grapes, and he's got gold everywhere. Sitting here, ha, che, ma, tu, re, ma, you know, whatever. And he's like, I'm the man. And he's sitting here one day just celebrating me. And someone comes in, sire, there's three men coming to visit you, to visit Jerusalem. Well, who are they? The three men are great renown. They're wise men from far, far from the east. They brought gifts. Ooh. And they're famous? Yes, very famous. Well, why are they here? I don't know. Oh. They must be here to see me. I mean, obviously, you don't go to Orlando to see Shamu. You see Disney World. That's why you come, to see King Herod. So you got to picture it. Here come these wise men. He's sitting there like, all right, here we go. Let's talk about me. Enough about me. What do you think about me? Kiss my royal finger. And the wise men say, hey, where's the king? What did they say? Sire, they asked where the king was. Well, I'm the king. Do you not see the crown and the fancy clothes and the fan? Fan faster. And the grapes and the treasures? I'm the head honcho around these parts. I'm the king. They didn't just say that. They said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Uh-oh. See, he knew And the scribes and the elders knew that that title was reserved for Christ alone, for the Messiah. They basically said, hey, we're looking for not you. You know, Herod was a puppet. He was a very rich puppet. But he was just established there by the Roman government to keep tabs on the Jewish people. They came in and said, hey, buddy, whoever you are, Grand Poobah, we want to see the real king. They recognized that there was someone greater than him. No wonder Herod was very troubled. He was troubled because of what the wise men said. You know, they didn't say anything wrong. They just spoke the truth. Sometimes the truth is shocking. Probably the most brutally honest person I know in my life is my younger brother, Ben. And one day, Sarah and I went to Mom and Dad's house, and Mom made this amazing, delicious meal. And apart from killing the cow, like everything was made from scratch except for the roll. She got Publix, and so there's this meat, and there's this mashed potatoes, and lots of butter, and green beans, and vegetables, and all this amazing stuff. And, of course, any good mother will sit down, say, how do you like the food? Well, it's good. Andy, how do you like the food? Love it! Sarah, how do you like it? It's good. And then all of a sudden, her voice changed. Ben, how do you like the food? And we all got quiet because we know that Ben is honest. So we all look at him. Ben looks down, looks at the meat, looks at the potatoes, looks at the vegetables. I like the rolls. Ben, I bought the rolls at Publix. I know, that's all I like. He was just being honest, brutally honest. It's the truth. But you know, we need to be reminded tonight that words matter. What we say with our lips really matter. You know, right across here at the Jupiter McDonald's, there's a very sweet lady. She always said, God bless you. God bless you. In the name of the Lord. Jesus loves you today. She's so sweet. Love her. And so one day she said, Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas to you. She goes, do you know the reason for the season? I was like, yes, ma'am. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's the greatest gift I've ever received. That's good. You know, that's good to hear. I told her, well, you already know it's true. I was like, yeah, but you know what? It's good to hear it once in a while. You want to make a difference in this world? Then speak up. Don't be afraid to proclaim God's word, to share it with others. The wise men said, King of the Jews. You know, they knew that Herod was a wicked man. They knew he had a massive ego. He could kill anyone with no hesitation. And to, you know, to facilitate his ego, to make him feel better, so the wise men didn't feel as persecuted, they could have said, we're here to see a prophet. We're here to see a blessed child. That would have been fine with King Herod. That would have been fine with the kingdom. But no, they did not mince words. They spoke the truth. We like to assume, too, that people know the truth of Christmas just because that everybody watches the Charlie Brown Christmas special. They don't know the gospel. You know, these wise men assumed. They said, hey, where is King of the Jews? They assumed that Herod and God's own people knew where Jesus Christ would be born. And when he showed up, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And the scribes and the elder goes, huh, look at that, it's right there. Huh, who knew? These people did not know. The wise men assumed that they knew, but they didn't. We need to be reminded to speak up, to tell our friends, our coworkers, and our families why we celebrate this time of year. The truth that God sent forth His Son, not to be just some nativity scene by our dining room table, but He was born to be a sacrifice. He was sent to die on the cross for our sins because we could not pay it on our own. God has given us a gift and an offering that we could never, ever receive, but by the amazing love of Jesus Christ. And Christ lives today, extending that gift to all who would receive it. That is the truth that we need to share, to speak, and to rejoice in. But it wasn't just that the wise men, that's how they troubled the kingdom. Yes, it was something they said, but also what troubled Herod and the kingdom was number two, what the wise men saw. Look at verse 2 again. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Why be worried over a star? Because it wasn't that. It was the promise that the star would be there. This star was a promise from God himself. And that promise came true. You see, when God is true and every man is a liar, it makes man very nervous about what they think is truth. If God fulfilled His promise here with this star, then perhaps the rest of this is true as well. It's funny, in the Christmas Carol, Mr. Scrooge, if you ever noticed, he wasn't really gripped with fear by what the spirits said. He was gripped with fear by what he saw. He saw a lifetime of selfish and empty living. He saw a crutch without an owner. He saw a graveside with no one to mourn his parting. When you see truth, it affects you. What King Herod saw with his own eyes is the truth and promise of God coming to fruition. He saw the hope of three wise men who believed God and discovered, as Psalm 118 says, that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, Proverbs says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when it is accomplished, it is a tree of life. What are we hoping in? I remember one of the greatest Christmases of my life was the Christmas of 1996. Oh yes, I remember the year. I was 11 years old. Aww. And Rick and I wanted something real bad. Real bad. 1996 happens to be one of the greatest holiday shopping frenzies of all time because of two items. Two. The first one you know very well. Tickle Me Elmo. It was a $30 toy. It's just Elmo. You think,
tickles. Stop it. Stop it.
You know, it's Elmo. I don't know. Well, it was a big deal. It came out in July of 96, and no one really cared. But then when it was on the Oprah show and some other TV shows, everyone had to have it. And they didn't make enough. And they even had one man in Denver spent $7,500 for the Tickle Me Elmo dolls just so the kid could have it for Christmas. Play for 5 minutes and discard. But that's not what we wanted. I didn't want Tickle Me Elmo. Maybe. Rick and I wanted something else. It was called the Nintendo 64. It was amazing. We used to play Mario up and down and left and right, but now you could play Mario in 3D. It was amazing. Oh, we got to have it. We had to have it. But our parents are very wise and very sweet, and they said, now, Andy and Rick, sometimes you ask for something, you don't get what you want. Everyone in the whole stinking world wants this stupid game system. So there's a good chance you're getting Tootsie Rolls for Christmas or whatever. And Rick, of course, was distraught. He was completely heartbroken. He was inconsolable. But I was the spiritual child. I said, I understand. I am content with what I have. Amen. Your love, that's right, amen. Your love is enough for me. So one fateful day, Dad bravely went into Target and fought off people. I think he murdered two or three, but it was worth it. And he got one of the last ones. And security had to walk him out. So that fateful day, you know, there's all these presents and all, and then there's this big one. I'm like, what is this, diapers? This thing's huge. And I think, did you put it in a diaper box? I think you did. Yeah, they put it in a diaper box. And I was like, this is just, my parents hate me. And so I open it up, and I'm like, what is in this thing? And then I saw a little N. I was like, no, I still didn't believe it. I was like, nah, it can't be. And then I open it up, and there's this big, fat picture of Mario. Oh, it's a me. And I was like, it's a Nintendo 64! Google Nintendo 64, kid. That was me. That's a real thing. Google it. That was me. Nintendo 64! You're going to have to share it with your brother. Oh. But we were so happy. That was one of the best Christmases ever, because Christmas is all about the presents. Okay, kids? Don't listen to anyone. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. So bad. But we were so happy because we had so much hope. Oh, I hope I get that this year. And it came. But you know what? We put hopes in things in this world. Sometimes you will be disappointed. Hopes in this world will fade, will disappoint. But when you hope in God, ladies and gentlemen, you will never be disappointed. What do we see tonight? Something for you to consider and for me to consider is these wise men could have woke up one night or one morning. They could have seen that star and they could have seen the journey ahead of them. It was a long and it was a dangerous journey. Very dangerous. And they could have saw the star, said, you know, the Messiah is there. That's a promise from God. But you know what? Man, that's a long journey. That's dangerous. And they could have said, you know what? It isn't worth it. They could have seen a wicked king and an unbelieving and ignorant people and would have said, it's not worth it. But they didn't. All those things were true. But they chose to look at the star. They chose to claim God's promise. And ladies and gentlemen, what are we looking at tonight? Are we fixated on the darkness of this world? Are we fixated on the stress and the toils of this life, the economy, the shrinking middle class, the moral decay of our country? Or are we looking up at the promises of God? Are we seeing and rejoicing in the love and goodness of God that permeates our lives every single day? These wise men were not just wise because of what they said, because of what they saw. What they said was right, and their sight was right. They had the right perspective, one that leads to nothing else. But as the Bible says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Which leads to the last thing that the wise men did. I'll do this and very quickly be done. Herod and the people were very troubled by what the wise men said. They were troubled by what the wise men saw. But this is the most important of all. They were troubled because of what the wise men sought. Read verse 2 again. He said, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They did not come to pay respects. They did not come to admire or awe at the baby Jesus or to take selfies with the Messiah. No. They had come to worship him. Now, this was the last straw. This is what truly disturbed Herod. The world doesn't want you to see you worshiping someone other than them. The world says that your children must listen to our music, idolize our celebrities, read and believe our words, and worship us and us alone. But these wise men knew that neither Herod nor Caesar nor anything or anyone in this world was worthy of their worship except the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God, and He is God alone. These wise men didn't listen to the world. What they sought was troubling to Herod, but it was the only thing worth seeking after. A lot of you know Mr. Richard Taylor. And when he went home to be with the Lord about 2 weeks ago. He was a sweet man. And a lot of you know that his passing was very sudden. It was very quick. His health deteriorated like that. And it was just a week before he passed away, I remember calling him on the phone and talking to him. I said, "Hey, Mr. Taylor, how are you doing today, sir?" "I'm good, Andy. You know, I'm tired. I'm going through a lot of procedures and checkups and things like that." And then I asked him, "Mr. Taylor, is there anything that we can do for you? Is there anything that you want?" And then he got real for a minute. I mean, he got very honest. And he said, "Andy, you want to know what I really want?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with my Jesus. I miss my wife, Andy. I miss my family. But most of all, I want to see Jesus. I want to be with Him, and I don't know why I'm here, but I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to keep just seeking Him until He calls me home." A week later, God did just that. Mr. Taylor finally found what he was looking for. He found the Lord. You know, beloved, we can seek a lot of things in this life, but we'll never find what we're looking for. But when you seek the Lord, you will always find Him. Always. And if there's anyone here in this auditorium, and you do not know that if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, I want to ask you a question. What are you seeking for tonight? Are you desperately looking for something in this world that will never satisfy? Are you looking for wealth to sustain you? For pleasures to satisfy you? Or even are you looking for religion to protect you? You will find no aid, no peace, and no comfort in the Herods of this world. But in Jesus Christ, you will find a Savior. A Savior that loved you so much He humbled Himself to be born of a virgin. A baby born in a manger, yes. But He was a baby who would grow up to become a man. And that man would grow to become a lamb. A lamb who would shed willingly His innocent and perfect blood, willfully given so that He would pay the price for your sins and for mine. What are you seeking for tonight? In Christ you may find forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven with Him forever. It is truly the greatest gift that anyone can receive. And I'll say this and I'll be done. These wise men did not receive their title from King Herod or the clergy or the intelligentsia of the day. It was a title that was given by God himself. Well, why? Because what they said, what they saw, and what they sought was Christ and the things of God. Yes, it may disturb the world to hear and to see you live the truths of this book. But for us, it brings nothing but exceeding great joy. May we as God's children rejoice in the truth of Christmas. And like these wise men, may we share that truth wherever we may go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know these are not stories, Father, that we are just to enjoy, just to hear about, but these were real people, Lord, that trusted you, that had faith in you, and that believed you to the end. We ask, Father, we as God's people would always be people who are thankful for what you have done for us, and that we would be faithful in sharing it with the world who so desperately needs to hear that there is a Savior that loves them, gave the only begotten Son for them and for us. We ask you bless the invitation, Lord. We thank you for all the promises of your word for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.